everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
10-3. We waited 100 years for 10-3. What to believe about the Bears and the Packers and the game Sunday that will convince us football has progressed in the last 100 years. Also, last week, hospital bed. This week, for Hugh Freeze, a dentist chair. Open up and say, what? Oh. Hit up Raymond Smith. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We're not a bar around here.
I'm not insulted as a dentist. I'm insulted as a sports viewer. We'll get to that in a second. An emotional apology from Antonio Brown today at Raiders practice. And he was flanked by Raiders team captains. And with that, John Gruden's call, no suspension. Antonio Brown will be playing Monday night, and this ends our national nightmare. Tim Galishaw, I start for you. Is it over, and is all well between Brown and the Raiders?
No, it's never over with Antonio Brown. Just think about the fact that 24 hours ago at this time, we were thinking, are the Raiders going to be able to get out of his whole $30 million and not have him play at all? And they've gotten from that point to
you're starting
lining up against the Broncos Monday night. But the idea, is it over? Just go back to the Steelers last year. They basically had a choice this offseason, keep him at $22 million. The man had 15 touchdowns last year, or get rid of him, and he counts a record $21 million against dead cap money, and they went with the 21. They would rather pay him $21 million to not have him. So if you think this is the last incident, or if he's been taught a lesson by having to apologize, that's crazy.
Woody Page, I ask you the same question, and then this as well. How should John Gruden and Mike Mayock feel today?
I feel like they lost the battle, actually. I mean, he's been winning all along. Thank you, Tim, for giving us that inside information so quickly. I love that. But I think that it proves that Gruden is more important in that franchise, really, than the general manager, because you know that the general manager was prepared to get rid of him. And I think Mark Davis must also stepped in. But I think that his agent, Drew, said to AB, you got to go in and apologize and get down. You don't want to miss this $30 million. Is it over? It's never over with him. It is not ever over with him. AB would cause more problems throughout the season, but I'll tell you what, down the street from where I am, people are not happy in Denver that he's playing on Monday night.
It's possible.
It will go on.
Could it be possible he's worth these problems? Mina Kimes, I'll bring you in here now. How should Antonio Brown feel, and how should the Raiders feel?
Antonio Brown should feel pretty good about this. He gets to keep the money, ostensibly. This is just example 4,332, that's an official number, of an elite player receiving different treatment in the NFL. Because Woody's right. The Broncos aren't happy that he's playing. He is that good. That is why they're making this decision. I mean, step back and think about it. An NFL player got in reportedly an altercation with his general manager, and nothing is happening. It's unbelievable. But that's how good Antonio Brown is.
Something is happening, Mina. You used a word that is on our ban list. I'm not even going to tell you what word you use, but you are a recidivist, as Bob Rye would say. So that's a mute right there. Kevin Blackstone on Brown, on the Raiders. Can we all move on?
Well, first of all, I'm very disappointed in Antonio Brown that he didn't Facebook Live his apology to the rest of the world. That would have been great to see. I guess he's not getting any money from Facebook anymore. But you know what? Does he win? Of course he wins. He gets his $30 million. You got to think that Drew Rosenhaus called him and told him, look, if they suspend you, you're going to be out of the money, which is the reason that you ostensibly wanted out of Pittsburgh and in order to go to wind up with Oakland. Is it over? Of course it's not over. I mean, he's been involved in so many dramatic acts over the last, 24 months that it's unbelievable.
And so have the Raiders. So I mean, it's almost like this is a marriage made in wherever it's made. Let me ask you this, Mina Kimes. I'm going to do this the entire show. I want a bold, reckless prediction for this season. And I want it for Antonio Brown. What are we looking at for Antonio Brown this year, Mina? Yeah.
He is a special transcendent generational.
Okay, like those words are all right now.
I think he's going to put up incredible numbers this season. And I don't think the team is going. Sure. I think he will score 12 touchdowns.
I like how much, like, you've never even thought about that question could be asked on today's show. Woody Page, bold, reckless prediction for Antonio Brown this year.
1,004 yards, 73 receptions, 18 touchdowns.
Down
because
a little bit.
They have nothing else. They have nothing else, so they're going to be going to him all the time. 1,000-yard season, given what he's gone through, I think that's
Tim, do you want to just throw one out just so I have something to?
I was told by a Raiders scout 2 weeks ago they don't have anybody who can cover him in practice. Now, that may say something wrong.
Wait a second. No.
But I'm going to go 1,240 yards, 9 touchdowns.
All right, we'll move on. Let's talk about last night's game. That's the Chicago Bears lost the season opener to Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, okay. That they did it looking like that. That's where we're going to start. 10-3, the score or the season kickoff. Trubisky, Mitchell Trubisky. Such a big jump last season to get to 12-4. Well, he says last night was just him struggling. It wasn't because he didn't get a lot of reps in the preseason. Mina, start there. Did you see it as that, or what was last night?
I think Trubisky's right. The preseason wouldn't have helped because he looked how he looked at times during the season last year, even near the end. Poor decision-making, struggles throwing deep and to the left, interceptions left on the table. Afterwards, Packers cornerback Tremont Williams said, we made him play quarterback, which, whew, that is quite an insult. But what they did was they showed a lot of discipline on RPOs and keepers. They forced him to throw into tight windows, and he didn't succeed.
You seem to think that this is a bigger problem. This isn't just one game. Trubisky needs to change. He needs to get better. Woody Page, what did you see last night?
I think Mitch made Jay Cutler look a lot better in the eyes of Chicago Bears fans.
His hair looks great.
That's how bad he was. I mean, he overthrew people, which is what he did last year. He was actually spying on his wide receivers and really not looking them off. He didn't get out of the pocket. He was forced to stay in the pocket. His offensive line gave him no help. But here's a guy that is in his third year. He should have the system, but he got no help from Nagy, who had talked about their running game had to be so dominant, and they ran the ball 12 to 15 times last night. They have this three-headed monster, and they talked about Williams, and they didn't they barely used him. They went to the pass, and last year when they threw this many times, anytime over 35, they were 1-6. So when they pass the football, especially with Trubisky, they're not going to win any games.
Woody Page, are you covering the Bears as well as the Broncos?
Goodness.
That was incredible. Tim, talk us about Trubisky's opener last night, and also whether you think it's one game or maybe signs of a greater problem.
Well, I mean, I think he's not problematic, but he's a problem.
Oh, boy.
He's a work in progress. Stop it. He's a work in progress, and it's crazy to think that a little bit of play in the preseason wouldn't have helped him. Son, he had zero pass attempts. If you don't think that would have helped a little, then last night's not going to help either. He's never going to get better at this thing. I just think it's crazy when teams have young quarterbacks and they don't give them, they're so paranoid, they don't give them any preseason time at all. This is what you get when you start the season.
This is what you get, a stay in the big house. And now Kevin Blackstone on the Bears. Your first impression of this season where they thought they can go places, they still may go places, but to come out with 3 points.
Yeah, well, to come up with 3 points is absolutely ridiculous, which is what their coach said. But he also should have said that of his playbook being ridiculous. Tariq Cohen, no carries last night. That's ridiculous in and of itself, given how electric he is and what we saw him do last year. And Trubisky needs to get out of the pocket and run the football. One of the things he can do as a quarterback is use his legs. You didn't see any of that last night either. And then to force the team to rely on his arm was just not a smart thing. But that defense is good enough to carry this team. We always talk about teams like this who don't have a great quarterback, whether or not their defense can carry him. There's no question that defense can carry him. They still have Aaron Rodgers.
There's been a lot of doom and gloom here on Trubisky. Are these problems in any way correctable, Mina Kimes?
I'm not going to bury a quarterback who had very little experience, by the way, coming into the NFL and is only in the second year of learning the system. But the accuracy and the decision-making are very concerning.
Bold, reckless prediction here, Woody Page. Wins for the Chicago Bears.
10.
Kalisho?
8 plus a tie.
8 plus a tie. That is bold.
8-7-1.
Blackstone.
I can see him getting 9 wins.
Mina Kimes?
9, missing the playoffs, though.
Now that they figured the kicking game out, though. I mean, maybe anything's possible. The Packers. Let's talk about the Packers. And the LaFleur offense and Rodgers. Did you see Rodgers gave LaFleur the game ball? And said, Rodgers, he has to be the one who is better. First impression, Kevin Blackstone?
Well, first impression is that offense is horrible. But the reason isn't because Rodgers is Trubisky. The reason is because Rodgers didn't play in the preseason either. You know what? Blame it in part on the NFL, because remember, he was supposed to play in Winnipeg and they pulled all the starters out of that game because of the field conditions. So, you know, it's all about timing and being in sync on offense. And if you don't have real game time preparation for that, this is what a preseason game is going to look like for Aaron Rodgers. But they got bailed out. Preston Smith should have gotten the game ball. 5 tackles, 1.5 sacks. He looked awesome.
It was the Packers defense that in your eyes is why they won this game. Yep. And everyone would agree with that, I'm sure. But Kalisho specifically, so much attention has been put on the floor. And Rodgers, what did you see last night from the offense?
Well, yeah, I saw one touchdown scored on kind of an off-balance sidearm throw into a crowd that Jimmy Graham caught the ball. Let's give Matt LaFleur a lot of credit for devising that play. No, they didn't do anything offensively. They were playing a very good defense. That's obvious. But they look like a team that needs a lot of work, just like the Bears do.
Woody Page, how about you?
Well, first of all, when they did go into the 12 package that LaFleur calling the plays, 12 packages, 2 tight ends, they were very successful, not on third downs, but when they were using the 2 tight ends, they were able to run the football, and that gave Aaron Rodgers a chance to get outside and make some throws. So I would say that. But Aaron Rodgers, in watching that game last night, he's going to get hurt again. I mean, the guy has been injured often, and that offensive line, when he was trying to get away from the Bears, I thought
how much of that is the Bears, though? How much of that is the pressure that Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, they didn't put up numbers yesterday, but, I mean, they're there on the field. How much is that Chicago's defense?
Well, we're going to find out more because the Broncos, that we mentioned earlier, are playing Chicago and Green Bay back-to-back. So we'll find out about the Broncos' defense under Vic Fangio against those two teams, and you can kind of make a comparison.
All right, not exactly about the Broncos right now. Mina, on the Packers, on the offense, and then you can get us on the defense as well.
Yeah. The offense was not great, especially in the first quarter. Obviously, they had negative yards. It looked a little bit awkward at times. And I think blame should be equally divided between LaFleur and Rodgers, who was inaccurate and wasn't decisive at the beginning of the game, was responsible for a lot of those sacks, by the way. But then you saw, Tim mentioned, yes, the touchdown was a bit of gimme, but the play prior to that, that deep shot off of play action, off of the fake end around, that was a beautiful call by LaFleur and hopefully heralded sort of decisions to be made in the future.
But Mina, you would agree that it was the defense of the Packers here. Is that something that's sustainable here? I mean, that's Pettine at the defensive coordinator position. That's a sustainable. We haven't seen that from the Packers in recent years. One of the things holding them back.
Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen them go out and get free agents like they did this summer. And it's making the difference.
You have them winning the division because you said the Bears are missing the playoffs.
I do. I have the Packers winning.
More Week 1 predictions. Buy or sell next. All right, Cleveland, this one's for you. You've waited 2 decades, and now we've got 44 hours till the start of the season. Odell Beckham, by the way, full practice today. So his hip, which he was saying was like a fast car out of alignment, not preventing him from going. Everybody loves Cleveland this year, Mina Kimes. How real is this hype? How should a Browns fan feel today?
Count me amongst the people who love Cleveland because I think it's play after bust. This team is stacked on both sides of the ball, but they do need Beckham because their weakness is the offensive line and they need him as an outlet.
That's bold. That's reckless. What do you got? A 10-win team, 11-win team here? Playoffs or bust? Woo!
I'll go 11 wins.
Woody Page, how about you?
Clevelanders should be really thrilled that they're not going to give away beers maybe five games into the season. So I think that the defense is more what we should talk about. The additions they made there, I think that's really going to help Baker Mayfield, a wild card team, win nine games.
Tim Kalishaw.
Well, I think they can do better than a wild card. I agree with Mina that it's playoffs or bust because there's been such hype, but I think they'll live up to it. And if you occasionally have to put up with a little mystery or drama from Odell Beckham or some craziness from the quarterback, hey, that's way better than what the Browns have had for 20 years.
Devin Blackstone.
Well, I think it's a wild card team. I think Baltimore and the Steelers are still trouble in that division. It's a defensive division. And you know what? That's why it's important to look at the additions they made on defense. Greedy Williams in the backfield, Sheldon Richardson, Olivier Vernon. Those guys are going to make a real difference on defense.
So you're all focusing on the defense of this Browns team and not Baker Mayfield and Freddie Kitchens and Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry and the offense cooking. All right. Four playoffs there. That's what I heard for a team that hasn't had a winning season in about two decades. We'll move on. More news of the day. Kansas City Chiefs giving Tyreek Hill a three-year extension. It's $54 million, 35 of which is guaranteed. Mina Kimes, how do you read that?
I read it as the Chiefs getting a discount. 4 years of $56 million for a player of Hill's caliber is a bargain, just as it was a bargain when they drafted him. And they got that bargain because they did what other teams would not on account of his history with domestic violence, and they should take responsibility for that.
Woody Page?
Yes, if you compare this number to what other major star-type receivers are getting, it is a bargain for the Chiefs. But he's got to keep his act together, and he can't cause problems anymore. But you're talking about a guy that had 3,000 yards in pass receptions and 400 yards in rushing in his first 3 years, and you expect him to be even better this year for this
team. Tim Kalishaw?
You know, I buy it, and they're in the football business, and they probably feel like they took the high road when the Kareem Hunt situation happened. And the next thing you know, that team we just talked about glowingly, the Cleveland Browns, scooped him up for next to nothing, and he's an addition for their team. So Tyreek Hill not charged with anything. We can debate that all day. They got him at a decent contract. He's an electric player.
Kevin Blackstone.
Yeah, I'm buying it, and if you listen to what people are saying about it or writing about it, there's language apparently in the contract, which we don't know exactly what it is, but it sounds as if no matter what he does, no matter how small it might be, they may be in the right to just pull that contract away. So I think one thing the public wanted with these contracts for players with these types of histories is some way to kind of incentivize them towards better behavior, which is what some people in the business of trying to rehabilitate people with these problems suggest.
Thanks for your thoughts on that, Kevin. We'll move on. Quarterback's focus for week one. Cam Newton says he feels like a rookie going into this year. The rookie gets Aaron Donald, so that's his matchup. Jacoby Brissett gets the keys to the Colts' kingdom versus the Chargers. Nick Foles' debut with the Jags. They'll play Kansas City. And a number one pick's debut, Kyler Murray. Cardinals-Lions on your radar in week one. Which of those quarterbacks do you expect most out of in week one, Woody Page?
Well, this is easy. I mean, everybody's going to have eyes on Kyler Murray. We want to see this air raid offense from Kingsbury. He hasn't unveiled anything during the preseason.
Okay.
So I think you're going to watch. I think they're going to beat a bad Lions team, and I think he's going to have a big game.
Bold, reckless prediction, Woody Page. What are we looking at from Kyler Murray? Give it to me. I want to hear big. Let's go. How big can he go?
3,000 yards and 600 yards rushing.
Oh, season. Okay, thank you very much. I thought that was really big. Okay.
Well,
Tim Kalishaw.
He's really carving up the Lions there for a second. I mean, we're going to watch Kyler Murray, and that's probably the most intriguing one. But the guy who's going to have the biggest Sunday is Nick Foles. I'm a believer in Nick Foles. I think he can play. I know he's playing the Kansas City defense. That's still a good defense to play. They might be better, but they're not very good. I think he'll line him up.
Blackstone.
And the biggest offseason quarterback story was Luck leaving the Colts. And all of a sudden, his coach came on saying, Jacoby is going to be okay. He's a top 20 quarterback in this league. So I want to see if he can pick up the pieces and put out and douse the fears of Colts fans that their team is falling apart.
I'll be watching Cam, because if he's healthy, Tony, this is a playoff team. They could win the division. They have one of the best front sevens, if not the best, in the NFL. But it's all contingent on Cam's health.
And Panthers playing the Rams. That's kind of a homer call for you then, because of the red. Okay, we'll let it slide. Well, Calico Blackstone, your top 20 panelists on Around the Horn. Blackstone, you think about Brissett being a top 20, like that's something in the league. Cons Page Showdown next.
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Mina Kimes, Woody Page, bold, reckless showdown. Running back focus from week one. Le'Veon Bell is fresh. Ezekiel Elliott has been fed. Todd Gurley is a full go. Mina, who are you expecting most out of in week one?
Got to be Zeke, purely because of the opponent. Bell gets the Bills, right? Gurley gets the Panthers, both excellent run defenses. Zeke gets the Giants, not so much.
No, Mina, it's Bell. We haven't seen Bell in 2 years. Isn't it nice that he's actually going to come back and he may get the ball 50 times? We've seen Elliott. We've seen all those.
He's not getting 50. That's a bold, that is reckless, Woody Page. 50 touches for Le'Veon Bell. It all comes down to your opponent, as Mina Kimes knows in Showdown. Showdown 2, College.
There will be an upset.
Texas A&M offensive lineman Jarrett Hocker guaranteeing a win over Clemson Saturday? Is that what just happened? Said that to Brent Zimmerman of the Houston Chronicle. It's 11 versus 1, but also this week, number 6 LSU at number 9 Texas. And also this week, Hugh Freeze versus a dentist chair. That's the photo of it. Liberty says it's not technically a dentist chair, but come on. Who you got, Woody Page?
I got Texas and LSU. This is such a bitter rivalry, but they haven't played in the regular season since 1954. I think Tom Herman's going to be the better coach in the game.
Not that bitter a rivalry, then, huh, Woody?
Look, Texas LSU is definitely the best game. Excited to watch those quarterbacks. But how about Hugh Freeze? Will not take another loss lying down. You got to give him credit.
Yeah, you got to sit up, rinse, spit. Point. Woody Page, you're at 599 and a half wins. You're not getting to 600 that way. Go ahead, Kimes. 30
not
seconds of
baseball.
Going to use this to give a tip of the hat to Marlins pitcher Brian Moran, who made his major league debut after waiting 10 years and struck out his younger brother, Colin. Now, Colin might have the better career, but Brian, as someone who beat her own brother, Isaac, in the geography beat in eighth grade and continues to lord it over him until the rest of time, you will always have that victory.
That's going to do it, folks. Thanks for coming around. We're on a 71 and a half hour break. We'll be on ESPN2 Monday.
Geography, folks.
Come with us.